Thanks, Lucy. Roberto, come up and stand behind our special frontal for today. He's going in the opposite direction. That's alarming. For those not used to the Church of England, this is what we call a frontal. And that didn't go down very well, did it? But anyway, it's a special frontal for today, which Roberto is going to stand behind. Let's pray for him. Father, we will have opportunity shortly to praise you for all that Roberto and Suzanne have been and done amongst us. We all have reason to be grateful to you for them. And we pray that by the anointing of your Spirit upon Roberto's gift as a teacher, you will give us cause again today to be grateful to you for what he shares with us. May your words flow through him to reshape the people that we are, in the name and the service of Jesus. Amen.
One of the great things about today is that whatever I say or I do, I cannot be fired. If you don't mind, I'm going to take this down. It makes me more comfortable. So it's not up. Oh, it's quite difficult, isn't it? Yeah. Let's make the Word of God the center on this morning, if you don't mind. I was told a story just few days ago. It's the story of this pastor. And he noticed that, because he's going, pastors, we like to talk. This is obvious. So he goes on and on. And then he sees that somebody is going to sleep through the sermon. So he says to the lady next door, please, will you just wake him up? And he said, no, you wake him up because you put him to sleep. So this is, I wouldn't choose the text this morning because it is quite a grim text about talking about human nature. But this, we are going through the book of Mark, so it's what it is. That's the great thing about going through the whole of the scripture. You take the easy passages and the difficult ones. And we normally pastors, we don't want to touch the difficult ones because we don't want to get in trouble with our congregations. So, that's what it is. So let me tell you first about the bad news, and then I'll come with the good news. And always the gospel has good news for us. So in this morning, you must be the judges of what I say today. If I talk nonsense, you must forget it. And if I say anything that sounds to be true, I will ask you to keep it close to your heart and take action. One of the good things about Jesus is that he speaks truth, and sometimes truth is painful. Sometimes truth comes through, it's like a knife, it comes inside. I have felt so often God's truth coming through my heart. And you're like, wow, why should I open the Bible today? Because the Lord speaks, and this is one of the most powerful things about the Holy Spirit, that he speaks. And when he speaks, we have to listen. And sometimes he speaks to us in things that we don't want to listen. And they are painful. So the Lord is an expert in the heart. He is a consultant. I don't know if Graham is here with us today. I don't think him. No. If he was here, I would see him because he's so tall that, it's easy to see him. Anyway, he's a consultant, a heart consultant in the in the BRI, doesn't matter, all these ITV, BBC, NTV, it's like, for somebody coming from another country, all these things are just crazy, what we are talking about. why don't you speak English? You know, like. So, anyway, he speaks to the heart, and he says that the heart is really evil. You know, he really doesn't go around, you know, beating around the bush. He's like, you know, this is bad news, guys. And the disciples, and especially the religious people, they go around, you know, with washing hands and whether we have pews or chairs or, you know, whether we have flags or not. I mean, all these things, you know, which finally is part of religion. Whether we have this building or smaller buildings or we meet here, we meet there, or, you know, what is this? And the Lord says, you know, nonsense. Come on, guys, wake up. I'm talking about you, about something completely different. I'm talking about the heart. This is really what corrupts us. It's not your religious activities. It's not your traditions. You're putting all your emphasis on all these things that it doesn't really matter. I'm talking about the heart. The heart is what defiles a human being. The problem is in the human nature, but our human nature. And that's what you have to deal with it, the human nature, what is inside. And he makes this list of terrible things. Within you, you know, within your hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, and he goes on and on and on. And you think, please, Lord, can you stop? This is too much. And if you are really sensitive to the Word of God, you must say that in one point or another of this list is you. Maybe in 2 points, maybe 3 points, maybe in all of the points. But there is something about you here, if you are human. So the Lord, who is a specialist on heart disease, he's a consultant of the heart. He's telling us exactly what is there. So Jesus is very angry with the fanatical religious system. And he comes down really to the point, this is what I have come here for. I come to change your heart. Sin pollutes us, even as believers. Sin pollutes each one of us. And also we pollute others, so we become toxic. That's why I always so scared of the tongue. The terrible things that the tongue can do is incredible. It can destroy communities, it can destroy lives, it can destroy relationships, families. I've seen it. Sin pollutes each one of us. Sin pollutes our hearts, our nature. So we all of us have to do sooner or later a search on our own hearts. How are we? And looking through this list. For the last few months, I had problems with my heart, so I have been going to the institution of heart disease in Bristol, and beautiful, incredible work done by the NHS, by the way. And one day I was there in one of these tests, you know, with this lovely nurse, and she put all these cables on my chest and legs and everything, and, you know, she was doing all these kinds of tests. And we're having a conversation, and she asked me all kinds of questions. And she said, you know, what is your job? And I say, a pastor. Oh, so you look after people's hearts in the spiritual way. And I say, that's right. And I say, and are you a believer? And she said, yes, I am a believer, but it's a long, long time ago since I went to church. I say, oh, that's interesting. I said, don't you think it's time for you to have a spiritual angiogram? And she goes, no, I know, what are you talking about? I said, well, you are doing something test to me to see what is the condition of my heart, just in case there is something wrong so you can put it right. Very soon I'm going to have an angiogram, which they are going to look inside me. So for what you are saying, I guess that you have something wrong with your spiritual heart. So I think you should better get in contact with an expert of the heart and have an angiogram. And I'm sure they will find something. The conversation was over. What I'm saying is that all of us have to stop sooner or later and confront where are we as believers. Now, a famous American evangelist called D.L. Moody once was asked why he urged Christians continuously in all his sermons to be filled constantly by the Holy Spirit. And he said, I need to be continuously being filled by the Holy Spirit because I leak. I don't know about you, I know quite a lot about you. And I can see most of you leaking. And I've seen my own life leaking. And I see, for the last 30 years working as a pastor with my wife in Spain and in England, that, in fact, I have not met anybody who doesn't leak. Everybody leaks of the Spirit. Everybody. Which is a serious disease. Because the Lord wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit, but we leak. D.L. Moody said, he pointed to a water tank and he said, look the way this water tank leaks my life, my Christian experience, my spirituality also leaks. So this is the end of the sermon, which you will be very glad about that. And the congregation said, amen, yes? Well, I guess by experience that within few hours you will forget the sermon. So I thought, let's give them a example. You will never forget the example. You forget the sermon, but not the example. So this is you. For those who listen to the sermon, this is a bottle of water. And this is you. Okay, it's shapeless, so we don't know whether it's a woman or a man, but anyway, that's by the way. It doesn't matter. And it's full of water. Now, sometimes we have relationships that go wrong. And that produces a leak. It's something, it could be, depends of how bad is the relationship. If it's a divorce, it could be quite a long drip for a long time. And then you have doubts of faith. And then that's another one. And another one. And probably you have some evil thoughts. And I make another little one. And life carries on. And you have, in fact, you have no deal with these issues. That's why you carry on leaking. And then you choose your priorities wrong. Jobs, career. And there you are, and you carry on leaking. And you use your tongue in the wrong way, criticizing people. And sometimes it's not you that you're doing something wrong, but people are doing something wrong to you. which is the other story, the other side of the story. And you carry on leaking. Sometimes unemployment. I've seen people leaking, spiritually leaking, because of unemployment. And the faith just collapses, breaks somewhere. Because prayer has not been answered. I've seen people leaking because of suffering, illness, and they collapse. And when you realize, you know, after a while, you know that, you know, you are not really filled of the Spirit anymore, any longer. Because there is so much of the Spirit that you have been lost. Everything. You're leaking all the time. And the joy you once had on God, and salvation, and the grace of God, and the love of God, and the mercy of God, is gone. That doesn't mean that you are not a believer, because the Bible tells me that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So I can see here the name, and this name is healed in the bottle. But yes, you are losing of the Spirit. You haven't got that joy, that passion any longer. So something has to be done. And that's why this prayer, so beautiful prayer, that the Lord tells us to pray, come on. And also again, you know, the Lord just goes straight to the heart. If you've been bad, evil people, he could have said, you know, if you've been so wonderful, you see, the pastor will say that. You're such a wonderful people. The Lord will say, you've been so evil. Evil parents, bad people. If you know how to give good things to your children, you never allow your children to go angry or thirsty. If they ask for bread, you know, will you give them a rock? How cruel will you be? But you don't, because you love your children. How much more your heavenly Father? Will give you whatever you ask. Now, do you still believe in that? I have not written this text. And I hold on to this time and time again, and I pray. This is one of my favorite prayers. Lord, I need more of the Spirit. I am leaking like an old engine. I need more of the Spirit. I cannot carry on leaking so much. For the things I'm doing which are wrong, and the things that people are doing to me which are also wrong. So because of all these things going on, because I am in a broken world, in a broken society, because of suffering and the suffering I have and the suffering I see in others, Lord, I am leaking. And I need to be filled with the Spirit. And I hold on to your promise here. That you are my heavenly Father, and because you are my heavenly Father, you promise to give me the Holy Spirit. Exactly the same as I give to my children clothing, shoes, bread, every time they ask. I couldn't do it, Lord. I could not just say, well, no, it's okay. You want bread, but here you are. I'm going to give you a brick. And you're asking for a fish, and I'm going to give you a scorpion. So you are dead. So you and me being good parents, bad people but good parents, we don't refuse to give our children whatever they need. Whatever they need. How much, says the word of the Lord, your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. Now, do you believe that? You can choose to believe it or not to believe it. I want to believe it. In fact, I need to believe it. For I am continuously leaking. For the last I wouldn't say 65 years, but I would say at least 60, I've been leaking. I came to know the Lord in a very early age, but I leak. And I know that I cannot be a blessing to others. I cannot be a blessing to my family until this issue is resolved. So I pray and I pray and I pray. And now let me tell you something. Although I pray and I pray with faith because I believe it, I cannot do this now. But when the Holy Spirit comes to me and the Lord wants to say, by the way, I'm going to answer your prayer. And he pours the Holy Spirit on top of me again, it doesn't work. And I thought, that's interesting. Why it doesn't work? You know why? First of all, because some of these cuts in my life, all these hurts, have not been resolved. There's still some difficulties in forgiving my brothers and sisters. Those who have hurt me so much. That's why until we cover that area, until we resolve that wound, we'll carry on leaking. Because our priorities are wrong and we carry on leaking. But sometimes it's because there is something in our lives, it's like the top of this bottle. There is something in our lives that is there at the top of the bottle, and it doesn't matter because the Lord wants to pour the Holy Spirit on us, and the water, instead of going inside to pour us, it goes outside. So the question today is, what is it? And this is something that you have to answer yourselves. What is it in your life that if you pray this prayer, which is a prayer that the Lord says, I will give it to you, the same as you give bread to your children when they ask, and I will give it to you. What is it that is not happening? And I'm not just saying that it's not happening to us as individuals, it's not happening to us as churches. We need, as a community of God in this place, to be filled with the Spirit anew. And the congregation say, amen. Well, thank you very much. I thought I was lost here. All of us need to be filled with the Spirit daily, continuously, every minute. When I wake up in the morning, Susie, how are we doing? We have 5 minutes. This is one of the good things about having a wife, you know, who knows that you can just go on forever. So, dear brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't see the power of God in action because we haven't got the faith that God wants us to become full of the Spirit. It's not that he doesn't want to answer the prayer. So there is something there that is blocking. It's blocking the Holy Spirit to come in. And we can do all kinds of things. We can do programs and systems and fantastic choirs and whatever you want. And I've seen time and time and time again. But what we need is the hand of the Lord with us. So very often I say to the Lord, please, will you give us a hand? We are doing this thing here, whatever it is, but we need your hand. We need the hand of the Lord. And I've seen it. And it's a wonderful experience when we see God changing lives, covering those wounds done by life, by others, by doubt. God, Christ, has the medication. He has the right medication. He can heal us. I've seen healing in some of you at one level or another. We have seen healing people emotionally. Over the years, we have seen people being healed, spiritually healed over the years. By the power of the Spirit. But it's because it came the point when they opened the top of the bottle so they could be filled by the Spirit. When they opened their hearts, so they told the Lord, you know, I have really a problem with forgiving this person. And the Lord said, okay, I will help you. I will give you a hand. Now, the promise of God is here. The promise of God is here. Let me read to you again. If you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Fathers, mothers, will you? Will you give a snake to Lizzie? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? He's using these ideas of extreme. Scorpion will kill you. If you then, though you are evil, so you know it's not a compliment, isn't it? Know how to give good gifts to your children. This is very important here. How much more? No equal, okay? Just in case we forget that. No, no. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What a beautiful promise. Now, over the last 30 years, one of the main problems we have faced with pastoral work is that many prayers in my fellow brothers and sisters have not been answered and probably will never be answered. I don't know. Difficult questions, difficult answers to prayer, not answer to prayers, okay? Prayers for healing and people die. Prayers for all kinds of things had not been answered, and that really is trouble many believers. But this one here, he's not saying that he will give us everything. He's saying, I will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. So he really points to something specific. So my challenge to you and my advice to you is believe in the Word of God. If really God is your Heavenly Father, if really is your Heavenly Father, go and beg for a piece of bread. Ask him for a fish. You will not be disappointed. Ask the Lord for more of the Holy Spirit, and he will give it to you. As a congregation, please, will you come together and ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit to come to this congregation? Because it doesn't matter how many programs you put forward, unless the Holy Spirit is here with you with power, it doesn't work. I've seen it in my own life, in my own experience. But when God is present, miracles happen. People get converted. The power of God is here. And we say, as you Anglicans know very well, His Spirit is with us. His Spirit is with us. So may the Lord bless you. And I hope you look at this issue of, I need more of the Spirit. I really want it. I'm so hungry of God. And sometimes I get desperate. I wake up in the 3 or 4 in the morning. I said, Lord, I need more of the Spirit. For me, for my family, for my children, for my church, I need more of the Spirit. So this is the challenge for all of you this morning. May the Lord give you more of the Spirit. Let me pray. So this is what I'm going to do. If you close your eyes, please. And all of you who want more of the Spirit, and I'm going to pray for you specifically, if you stand up wherever you are, and don't forget who is next to you. It doesn't really matter. This is something absolutely personal. If you need more of the Spirit, because you are leaking, oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for myself and my brothers and sisters in Christ here. I ask, first of all, ask forgiveness for we find it so difficult to trust your promises, Lord. So forgive us. Lord, forgive us. Lord, restore our wounds. Those wounds we have done to others, and the wounds others have done to us, that we're still leaking. Lord, please heal our wounds. Heal our faith, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for this congregation, for each one of the members, those who are here and those who haven't been able to come. I pray, Lord, that you will pour the Holy Spirit on all of us as we need it. Please, Lord, have mercy on us. And we hold on to your promise, Lord. We hold on to your promise that if you ask, you will receive. So, Lord, we pray this morning, we all desire more of the Spirit, that in your mercy you will really send us the Holy Spirit with power. So we become best believers, men and women of faith and power, so we can go around wherever we are, Lord, to speak the gospel of Christ, the good news. We need you, Lord. We cannot do it on our own strength. Impossible. We have tried and we have failed. We have tried and we have failed. That's why we need you, Lord. Please, Lord, have mercy on us. Hold on to your promise. Whoever asks, your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Will give you the Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot do anything without you. So we ask you in the name of Jesus, amen. Please take a seat. Thank you.
In actual fact, I'm going to ask you to stand again. In many ways, we could not this morning have heard a more single-focused message. The clear truth that without the presence of the Holy Spirit and his working in our midst, all we seek to do is just so much human endeavor. And this prayer for the Holy Spirit needs to continue. And I'm going to suggest that we continue that now as our gathering draws towards its close. And in a similar way that Roberto invited those who wish to do so to stand, I'm going to suggest that we each continue, both for ourselves and for this church, because we as a church will never see the vision fulfilled that we believe God has given us without him and his presence and his power. So we just continue praying that. You can pray it aloud. If you can ignore those around you to stand up, you can ignore those around you to pray aloud. Or you can pray quietly. Sharon has chosen two songs which just perfectly fit what Roberto has been teaching. And the band and the singers will, in a little while, begin the first of those songs. It's a very simple prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And they're going to lead on into a song for purity of our hearts. And my suggestion is that we begin to sing when we sense it's the right time to sing. Because so often it is easy to sing the words that are on the screen in front of us. But this seems to me a time when we join in, when we know we can. So let's continue to pray for the presence and the visitation of God's living Holy Spirit that he promises to give. And then as we feel led to respond, we join in with the musicians and the singers. So let's firstly just be still again. Put the prayer into your own words. Lord, I need your Spirit. Lord, my church needs your Spirit. Lord, my workplace needs your Spirit. Lord, my family, my community, the place I will be this time tomorrow. Lord, my heart, my mind needs your Spirit. Make those prayers your own in your own words.